this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
Way to keep it classy, Canada.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Make them pay.
With chemistry, you can melt ice. You can't control the pop if you don't control the pop. The button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Toothpaste, Fenris wolf, and rotations per minute.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 48 of Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This episode is being recorded Wednesday, October 22nd, 2014. This is Aaron, and in tonight's episode, we talk about two tough wild losses, youngsters, extensions, scoring droughts, and much, much more. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And sitting next to me is Jive.
Hey, hey.
And today we've got a special guest. He's the featured Minnesota Wild writer on HockeyBuzz.com, Mr. Tony Dean.
Gentlemen, hello.
Hey, hey.
Hey.
Glad to have you here.
I appreciate the fact that I get to be here because I'm in the lab with the Three in the Box guys, and obviously you don't do guests, so you did a guest spot for me, and I appreciate the opportunity.
We're loving it.
Well, we're hoping this will be the first of many with you on here and the first of many guests as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. And ultimately, what a great opportunity to link up with Minnesota Wild content generators. And Three in the Box is just a unique thing that people need to come into contact with, and to be here tonight is a great opportunity for me to, you know, try to drive momentum towards it. And I promise you, on Hockey Buzz, anybody that comes into contact with my content will get a link to Three in the Box, and hopefully we can link up over the season here and create content together.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Definitely. Well, we appreciate it.
Well, and I know we came into contact with each other over Twitter talking last season, I think, is where we really started talking to each other. And since I'm talking about Twitter, I have to pimp our Twitter account, and that's @3inthebox. Yeah.
@3inthebox. Number three in the box.
Yeah. So with that. So, the Wild had yet another short week, this time two games on the road versus Anaheim and L.A., losing both games 1-2. The Wild had plenty of opportunities in both games, open nets, clankers off the pipes, passes in the skates. You know, overall, they could have been worse games. I mean, they were losses, so they weren't good. But when you allow 16 shots and take 41, you should be winning those games.
Agreed.
Was starting Backstrom... waiting to start Backstrom until Sunday the right choice, or should we have started them against Anaheim?
I think it was still too early to start him, period. I mean, really, with the time between games, there was really no rest period, I don't think, needed for the goalie. And Kemper, I mean, he was on a streak, so I don't think that he should have been started in, you know, they should have started Backstrom any earlier than that.
Well, you know, I'm still kind of a firm believer that Backstrom probably should have started in Colorado, given his first opportunity there. No.
Back in Colorado, okay.
Considering his winning record in Pepsi State or Pepsi Arena,
Coca-Cola
Pepsi Center. This is why we got Tony here tonight.
Can you argue with a shutout, though?
No, you can't. Yeah, no, but, you can't. I mean, I think resting Backstrom so long in between even preseason going into that was a bad idea. Anaheim probably would have been a little bit better and then let the number one goalie play against the previous cup champions. And I think they could have, at that point, I think they could have gone at least 1-0 on the road.
You know, I think it was interesting the message it sends when you start Backstrom. You know, I think it sends a little bit of a maybe we don't expect to win message.
Right. I could agree with that.
And you know, and given it's the Kings, and you know, the Kings are talented top to bottom. They have that 70s line, which is just...
I hated that.
Oh, that's so bad. Especially when they're named the three stars of the game. Oh, what's the three stars? That 70s line. What a cheap way out.
But what I will say, those kids are all good,
right?
And
well, Carter, not so much kid, but yeah,
sure,
yeah.
Oh, it is Carter, huh?
Yeah,
and he's missing the teeth, right?
You might not recognize me without my teeth.
But that line is very interesting because it's kind of a carbon copy of what's going on with the Wild. You know, you stack the kids together, Haula, Coyle, and Niederreiter on the third line.
Right.
You look at, you know, that's kind of a branch out of Chicago, who is playing with Kane on the third line.
Right.
You know, it's a lot about matchup issues. If you can create matchup issues, even if you're on the road and you can dictate to them that you're going to have to play a faster line, that's what's taking place in the NHL. It's
disruptive to a game plan.
Right. No doubt. One thing, there was so many, especially with the LA game, there was, maybe it was Anaheim, there were so many chances where, you know, someone fanned on the shot. You know, I think we counted. LaPanta and Greenlay said he was handcuffed, I think, four times in the game.
Oh, God. How many times did we have to drink watching that replay?
It was too many times. You know, and it really was. It was everything. Nothing was going in. And, you know, I saw Spurgeon had, probably three really good shots where he just snuck up there and just didn't go in. I gotta imagine there's gonna come a time where he's gonna start lighting that up like crazy, because he's getting in there and no one's catching him. It's only a matter of time before he starts putting some in the back.
And you know, Pominville too. Pominville's yeah. been the king of the bobbles, the king of the broken stick, the missed opportunities.
God, that guy. I think he just—he had the worst look. Did he cross a black cat or walk under a ladder before this past weekend?
Unbelievable, you know. And he's a guy too. He scores 30 goals last year. So then, you know, you're looking as soon as he gets the puck in those areas, right there at the dot. You know, you see him coming down. You expect just it's going to be a goal, and he breaks a stick, and it's just heartbreaking.
Well, and the Wild did get lucky. They didn't lose Zucker, who had a really close call with the skate right against the neck. I mean, talk about dodging a bullet there. It was a little hairy at first, but we didn't get any of that spurting jugular action, you know.
You know, ironically, we were talking about this at dinner tonight. and a friend of mine, she works in an architectural firm, and she had overheard some of her coworkers talking about some play where they had to censor it because blood was all over the ice. Who were Wild fans, and I was like, "Oh, they must have been talking about the goalie a few years back that got his jugular cut, and they must have been commenting about Zucker getting almost, you know, getting kicked in the face." And so, you know, she heard the hockey talk, and she sends them an email going, "Oh, you guys like hockey? Blah blah blah. You should check out 3inthebox.com." Like, awesome. So her, this is great. So her coworker replies back to her, "Oh, I didn't realize you're in the hockey." She's like, "Well, I am, but not really. But a friend of mine has this podcast, 3inthebox. "Oh, not your boyfriend?" "No." "Well, I don't want to talk to you anymore."
Awesome.
Well, okay.
She's
then.
Like, "All right." She replies back, "But I'm in the raves."
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I just ended
the story. Totally right.
So with that, there's also Folan got into a nice little skirmish.
Like, I might be coming across a table at you in a minute.
Yeah. So, he had a clean but massive hit on Kopitar against L.A. Mike Richards took it upon himself to go after Folan, and the fairly quick scrapping ensued. Yeah. So anyways, hockeyfights.com, last I checked, had a poll with 50% of the vote saying Folan won. You know, with a 44.6 saying a draw, and I don't know where those other five people said that Richards
really
won.
Hardcore LA fans.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, a shot of Richards later in the game kind of showed a nice little blemish under his left eye. You know, I'm presuming from an uppercut that Folan gave him during the scrap. So with that, with the Wild taking a more skilled and speed approach to their lines this year, is Folan the one to step into the role of the enforcer for the Wild?
Do we need an enforcer? I mean,
well,
I think that's a good
the bigger.
Question.
I think we need somebody who's going to step up for the smaller, more skilled guys.
Yeah, fair enough.
Or is the age of the enforcer past?
I doubt it.
The Mike Rupps of the world out to pasture.
The face punchers, or if you're Zen and Kanapka, the face punchy.
The face punchy. Lean in.
The punching bag.
You know, we don't know a lot about Folan's ability to fight. You know, he's a kid, comes over from Sweden, chipping a chair, a dream, ends up on a Greyhound station.
Right.
Gets picked up by the Austin Bruins, and then his life changes. You know, that the light goes on there. He ends up getting a scholarship to UMass Lowell.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, he's the top college free agent in the country.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, his ascension to the NHL is pretty amazing, considering.
It's unique. It really is.
So he's a 23-year-old kid. He definitely has the size. You know, he's 6'3". He's 200-some pounds.
I think 202 was what he was rated at.
Sure. And he looks it.
Yeah.
I liked that he knew he got a good hit in, and he probably owed some. I liked that he used his size. He threw a couple uppercuts. He kind of looked like, I punched you a couple times, I feel like we should be done with the fight. Which, you know, that's how I always want to fight. You know, I want to get my shots in.
get a couple of blows.
Yeah, make sure I look cool, and then let's work this out and have a beer later or something, right. You know.
Well, Richards isn't much known for fighting. I mean, I think he averages, and it's gotten down over the past 4 years, I think it was like four fights. Right. Two fights.
But one, he felt he had to stand up for Kopitar getting laid out.
Which,
so.
I mean, good for him for, you know, that's the top line. So,
right.
You know, Kopitar took a big hit. He needed to do his job just to stick up for his teammate.
Right.
I don't doubt him for that. But I, you know, going back, though, Folan put a clean hit on.
Right.
He dropped his gloves right away as soon as Richards came up.
I mean, I think it's good that we've got guys that are willing to stand up and stick up for what they need to do. You got Zucker is another one where you wouldn't expect it.
Sure.
But he's a little scrappy guy.
Little guy, yeah. You know? See?
Or even you even see it sometimes with Spurgeon, you know.
Well, Spurgeon will throw guys into the wall like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, a little scrappy do impression, you know.
Sure.
You
know, the other thing about Folan too is that he's a guy who can throw some weight around, and you know, he did it this summer. I saw him twice at the prospect camps.
Sure.
And he was putting a hurt on the other kids. and a lot of that is because he's smart enough to know that his role on this team is going to be to replace Clayton Stoner on that bottom pair.
Right.
What I like to consider Folan more skilled than Stoner. And I think over the season, you know, I mean, oxymoron, I get it. You know, you say Stoner and skilled in the same conversation.
Right.
If you look at what his role will be, and as we learn more about him and get to see him play more, he carries the puck pretty strong. He'll carry it from behind the net to his own blue line and make that long pass. He's got a shot. He shot a puck through the net at UMass Lowell, which was pretty amazing. It's one of his little
that's
hockey highlights.
That's pretty amazing from anybody.
Right. Yeah, the net was probably already frayed a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Pessimist.
Sure. But that's a kid that I hope he sticks with it, because you need that size, and you like to have that skill size combo.
Right. And especially when we don't have a ton of size on our D, you know.
We don't have a ton of size on the, I mean, you got Nino.
There's just not a lot of physicality amongst our
I mean,
team,
what
know?
Do we got? Nino, Coyle. Koivu is up there in size, but he's not that physical. He's not a grinder.
No.
Yeah. Carter likes to stir up some stuff. Have you watched?
He does.
I mean, mostly he did it against us. If you've ever watched yeah. Ryan Carter, he picked on guys for the Wild that didn't really want in.
It's kind of like Eric Johnson is now.
Oh man.
You know. Yeah, that was another topic that got brought up at dinner.
Another one of us just trying to ruin it for the Wild.
Eric Johnson's being a little emotional, huh?
Maybe they're just bitter that they're not here.
I mean, we got guys that'll dig in the corners. I mean, Prezi'll dig.
Oh, he's the scrap. I mean, yeah, he'll get dirty, and he doesn't really care.
I think Cook's trying to be careful now. I think he's backed off just because, I mean, especially look at the suspension he got in the playoffs last year. I mean, that was a BS call. We all know it.
Well, if you've looked at Cook's play, I mean, you definitely see that he's taken a turn in his career.
Well, he
and become a little bit more of a mature player. And,
absolutely,
and trying to make better choices.
But you know, he's the guy that can still hit and get scrappy.
Yeah.
But I mean, with that call where he got suspended in the playoffs and it hurt the team, I mean, I think he's going to be a little bit more cautious on his play right now.
Every once in a while, that muscle memory gets the better of you. You know, you just stick that leg out and.
Right. Sure. Well,
it is what it is.
You're only gonna let it. You're only gonna let guys pick at you so much. You know. I mean, Cook has the reputation he has because he's done terrible things to other hockey players, yes. to include Minnesota Wild players.
Oh, absolutely.
When he was in Vancouver.
Oh, right. Why do you think a lot of the Minnesota fans were against signing him?
Sure.
Yeah.
But I think he's won over Minnesota hockey fans because we see this version of Matt Cook. You know, aside from the Barry hit, plays hockey.
Right.
It's actual hockey that he plays and he contributes to.
And he can play.
Yes.
And people love a redemption story. You know,
sure.
I've changed my life. I'm doing all the right things now. And look at me. You know, people love that.
I think the only player below him that would not be accepted would be Bertuzzi.
Oh, man.
I
don't think he would ever be accepted.
I don't think he'd have the balls to come to Minnesota.
Right.
I think he would get booed coming out in the Wild sweater.
I might take a run at Burroughs. If they ever put Burroughs in a Wild
too.
Sweater, I might pull it over his head. You know, just because like you gotta respect and hate a guy that chases Pierre-Marc Bouchard around the ice.
Oh, the guy who's like 5'6", like
it takes a big man to go up against Bouchard.
It's unbelievable. And it's comic. It's comic to see it. You know, but you wish Bouchard to punch him in the face one time. Just throw one of those hands out there.
Little David and Goliath.
What was the one playoff fight that Bouchard got into? Was that against Vancouver?
I missed that.
We're talking a couple of years back.
Okay.
When Bouchard was still with us. And there was like, I think, 3 fights happening on the ice at the time. And Bouchard gets into a fight, and he, as he's going off, he looks at Bouchard and gives him a big grin.
I like you, man.
You know, that's a sneaky thing. When it's a line brawl or something like that, then you know you're out there on an island. There's nobody to come protect you, you know.
Just like, you know what, I'm just going to start throwing.
Sure. Or holding. I'm gonna start holding on for dear life, hope he doesn't get that arm free.
You're right.
A lot of that.
Well, speaking of fighting in power plays.
Fighting, yeah, power plays, penalty kills. I mean, what can you say about the Wild's power play? I mean, they're what, 0-16 here now this year?
In four games.
But their penalty kill, in their 13 tries, only one team has managed a goal against them. So
that was with Backstrom in that.
And they're actually...
No, yeah.
They're actually ranked second for their penalty kill now this year, so far. But I mean, it's still early in the season here. We'll see how that pans out over the course of the season. But I guess the big
point
is,
are they technically -1-16, being that they let a shorthanded goal on the power play ?
I guess if you want to look at it that way.
If you want to look
-1-16?
That's a negative take right there.
But it is a very negative take because if you take a look at it, the Wild power play has actually done everything right except for put the puck in the net.
Right.
I mean, they're moving the puck around. They're getting shots. I mean, what do they have? I think they're ranked, 6th for power play shots?
Despite being the least penalized team.
With the least power plays.
Right.
Yeah.
During the LA game, they brought up the stats, and them and Winnipeg had an average. They were the top two teams with an average of 2 shots on goal per power play, which were leading the league.
And neither team has scored on the power play yet.
So the lesson learned here is that shots don't equal goals. We did learn that over this last weekend, right? What was the Anaheim? What was the shot total there?
L.A. was worse.
That was the 41.
L.A. was the 41-16?
Yeah.
40,
shots on goal.
Really. So what do the Wild have to do to get their power play to click here?
You know what's really crazy is I think it was the first game or think it was the first game in first power play in Colorado. They were looking sharp. They looked like they were going to score something.
Yep.
And then the rest of the game, they looked like garbage on the power play.
Was that the power play? I think they got like 8 shots on the whole power play or something.
Yeah, I mean they were just cycling it around. I mean they're putting on a clinic, and then they couldn't get it into the zone. And it's basically been a lot of the same. They can get it in, or they're just not doing anything with it. I know there's been a few times where Spurgeon's doing a sneak up and tries to rail at it, and nothing happens. But
Spurgeon's been playing really deep lately, like. On the when they're offensive, I mean, I've seen him down by the goal line more often than I see him up at the blue line when the Wild are in the offensive zone.
Yes.
And you want to know what? I actually can appreciate a pinching defenseman like that. I mean, that's what creates extra opportunities. I mean, basically.
You know, I wrote about it today, and I really hope that Spurgeon and Dumba will play the same role on the first and second power play.
Yep.
And mimic each other, because there's so much opportunity with how many pass first players they have on this team,
right.
And pass perfect pass players, and all of this make the perfect play that tends to drive Minnesota Wild fans crazy.
Shoot.
Shoot the puck already.
when you have a kid like Spurgeon, especially if he can show Dumba that it's okay to take the shots, because I think with Dumba, You worry about his failed launch last year,
right.
Because he wasn't doing the dynamic things that make you fall in love with the idea of him.
Right.
And he has not been shooting the puck. He's been doing that extra pass that Minnesota Wild power play just bogged down with. The other thing, they faced 3 really good goalies. I mean, not to excuse. I don't like to make excuses. When you're 0 for the season on the power play.
Yeah.
But when you play Varlamov, when you play the Anderson kid who's unbelievable right now, and then when you play Jonathan Quick, Jonathan Quick was remarkable in that game.
Oh, agreed.
No, so, you're still 0 for the power play on the season. And, a lot of people are like, you're paying Vanek to play the power play, but then you play him on the second one with Koivu.
Well,
that drives people crazy a little bit.
Well, even him, I mean, of anyone you're going to say, shoot, it should be Vanek. And he's been passing more than anyone.
I know.
And it's like, you're not paying him to pass the puck.
I wrote about that too in watching his.
I saw that.
In watching his games, he is a lot like Pominville in that he passes a lot more than you would guess.
Right.
Like, if you're looking for a guy that's going to take a ton of shots, you're thinking Kessel. And it's not Vanek. And it's a difference.
Kessel killed us against Anaheim?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you bang Kessel's a lot of bang the puck off the boards, get it to the front of the net and then shoot. It's a lot of
really,
junky goals.
And that's a lot of what we need, because we've got scrappy people like our number one goal scorer. I could only imagine how many goals he would score if people just put the puck down on the net. And Zach Parise, he loves to get down there and get dirty.
Oh,
and scrap.
Absolutely!
And that's where he grabs his goals off those little
rebounds.
I did see
Zucker doing that though against LA, where he was trying to shoot the puck down and get down there and beat the defenseman down.
Sure,
and he's got the speed; he can do it.
Right.
And what I believe is taking place right now is what took place last year, where people are feeling out their roles, and a lot of these guys are unselfish players. So you it's a double-edged sword. You get a 200-foot brand of hockey, right, where you get people to buy in and play in both ends.
Yep.
But then what you're missing is your alpha male shooter. Or your
Danny Heatley's.
Or your yes, or your strictly
all-star.
Was that a petition to bring Heatley back?
Nice.
No. I think we still have a bobblehead to deal with.
Unbelievable. Yeah, no, I love that. Mr. 50-07. He must have started on fire a little bit, huh?
Fire, lots of head. Whoa, took crap. A BB.
Yeah. A few.
Some fireworks. We made him fly, though.
His head.
We're talking about a Heatley bobblehead that we taped about 15 bottle rockets to, and he actually got some lift off.
A little bit of lift off.
About 5 inches.
That's what she said.
Nice. He's a giver. He might have ended up in the press box because of what you've done to him.
I mean, he's a voodoo doll, man.
No doubt. You might have broken the yo curse of
crap. And then he got traded.
I know.
Okay, so are they giving away Ballard bobbleheads this year?
I know, doubt.
So, speaking of the power play lines, so towards the end of the LA Kings game, I mean, Jive, you're talking about what do they need to do. Yo switched up his power play lines to, you know, hopefully make some magic happen. The top line consisted of four forwards and a D with players of veteran status and a healthy salary. And then the second line being the youngsters with an average age of 22. Neither got a goal. Unfortunately,
it worked out well.
But I believe the first time we saw these two lines, the first play just over half the power play and looked like they were almost lost on ice. I mean, not getting many chances at all. I think they went into what, like a 48 seconds left or something like that before they got pulled off. And then the youngsters came out, and the second line looked like they wanted to prove something to their older brethren and actually started making things look good. Was this a good mix-up? Should Yo keep this as his two power play lines?
Yo.
I don't know.
Yo
never sticks with any line, so it's like he's always juggling, you know.
He is. He's notorious for that, but I don't know. I've seen him finding some solidarity with the normal line, so maybe, you know, we're just trying to find what works here. I mean, obviously you're Ofer on the power play. You can't just sit idle and not try anything. Right. So, I mean, it is what it is. You got to try to find a combination that's going to work.
I think what we'll see is certain players need to figure out that it's their time. You know, you need more shots from Mikko Koivu. You need more shots from Granlund when he has it on the sidewall and they're shadowing him to pass. You know, there's only so many times when Pierre-Marc Bouchard was here that he would actually take the puck, take all that real estate he had gained by being known as a passer and a pass-first player, and actually shoot the puck. And I think that they're going to see that they need to do that. They're going to start pressing. You know, when you're 0 for the season, that's when it doesn't matter what you're trying to do. You need to create something. You need to put pucks on the net.
Right.
You need to create opportunities for Parise to slap one in. You need to throw a puck in there so that you can have Vanek, who does his best work in the dirty areas, actually get the puck on his stick without him carrying it to the dirty areas.
Right.
And I think that's going to happen, man. I think that Matthew Dumba, if he's going to stay in Minnesota, his impact needs to be felt on the power play, because if he's going to play 10 minutes or less on a third pairing, you're not getting anything dynamic out of this kid, and you're cheating him. He should be playing top line in Des Moines if he's not going to be shooting, and that's something you got to tell this kid. Fire the puck. Shoot the puck if it's on your stick. Mimic Jared Spurgeon. Let's get it going.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is if you're pass first, that's what the opponent's going to know that. And they're not going to worry about you shooting it. They're going to position themselves.
They're going to take out those angles that, yeah.
You know, and it's just, you have to be multidimensional, and not shooting enough is a problem. I mean, it wasn't a problem with the LA game. We just weren't scoring. But that being said.
And my other point, though, would be that at what point is it not the players, but is it, you know, the type of power play that you're trying to run, you know, where you keep passing it around the perimeter. I mean, you can lollygag around there out there all day, but really the spot to score is in the middle.
Honestly, you know, I haven't seen as much of that this year so far. I mean, I see them trying to go after it. They just haven't been doing a good job, or they've been shooting into the chest of the goalies.
Well, sure. It bogs down. So, what we saw in that road game in Colorado, first power play, you generate like 8 shots, right? That's what we kind of decided. Yeah. And then from there, they were never able to get into the zone and set up.
Right.
And a lot of that has to do with figuring out who's going to be the puck carrier, who's going to carry the puck into the zone, allow enough time for it to set up, dump it in the corner, do whatever it takes, because if especially if Koivu and Vanek, if they don't get set up in there, they're not chasing down pucks. Right. You know, that's something Parise, he specializes in.
Yeah.
But you got to understand who your puck carriers are. You know, maybe it's Granlund. Granlund's a puck carrier. Spurgeon's a puck carrier. Dumba's a puck carrier. They can carry it with speed, get in the zone, possess it. You can set up your power play. When that power play is set up, they generated so many chances, and it's a Andrew Brunette-led power play.
Yep.
As it's his first year as a coach on staff, and you know, I mean, that he would put his big butt in front of the goalie.
Absolutely.
Can I say butt?
Yes.
He would put his big butt in front of the goalie, and that was the focal point of that power play with lesser talented players. So they need to get Vanek in front of there, and they need to throw the puck on net.
Agreed.
Well, and since we're talking about scoring, you know, through four games now, the Wild have scored 10 goals, five of those coming in the first game. Notably, Koivu, Halla, they both have 0 points thus far. Vanek just has one assist. It's starting to look a little like last season where the Wild are struggling to score. Is it time that we have to start worrying about it, or is it just too early still?
Well, I'll tell you this. Koivu is no surprise to me. I mean,
if he gets 30 points out of the season, I mean, I'd be happy.
And that's – I honestly think
that's
that –
That's sad to say coming from the captain, but
– Yeah, and I honestly think that his career is on the downward spiral basically at this point. I mean, he's still good defensively.
Right.
But, you know, on the offensive side, he's been lacking in that department. You know,
it almost seems like he struggles to get any chemistry with any of his line mates.
Right.
Because even though he's not going to be a goal scorer, and he's never really been that guy, you expect him to be at least be able to dish it off to guys like Vanek and or, you know, Pominville, Parisi, whoever he happens to be on the line with.
I think this is part of the reason that Coyle just got moved back up to his line and Fontaine got moved back down.
Right.
You know.
And it also, it'll be on Yo to determine how to best deploy Koivu. Because Koivu does stuff that not many centers can do. And you need a guy with the size of Koivu, with the ability and the strength to play in the Western Conference specifically, because it's loaded with pivot players that have that size. You know, Kessler and Getzlaf on the same team.
Right.
Now you have Stasny and you have David Backes together. You got Taves, you got Brad Richards, and they're running the Andrew kid on the third line. So, I mean, these are big centers, and you're matching up Granlund and Haula against them. And Granlund and Haula are effort guys. But they're not big bodies.
Well, no.
Granlund's got some size. Holla's, you know, what, 5'11"?
All he's got is his wheels.
Yeah, yeah. He's got speed.
But even Granlund, he's quite small compared to Koivu.
No, this is true.
Yeah.
Sure. And it doesn't take a big guy to mash some bodies around. You know, you talked about it. Spurgeon led the team in hits. Spurgeon can bang bodies around.
Yeah.
But when it comes to getting a guy and taking a matchup, you know, the Wild tend to struggle against teams that can camp out and they can cycle on us.
Yeah.
Well,
and you see a lot of that. The Sedins were famous for doing it. The California teams cycle on us a lot. You get Joe Thornton. There's nobody moving Joe Thornton off. Maybe Koivu. And even Getzlaf. Not Getzlaf.
Perry.
In L.A., Kopitar.
Oh.
Kopitar and Richards.
Well, Foligno could take care of him.
Sure. he sent him sideways into the boards.
So, you know, you had mentioned Spurgeon, you know, taking care
Hello
of guys.
Kopitar.
And Spurgeon will tie guys up in the boards. He's not afraid to go after a guy who's twice his size. But as far as moving a guy twice his size out in front of the net, I don't see that happening.
No. And you know what he does? He's got to work extra hard to poke that puck away. He's got to.
He does, and he tries to.
He's our second goalie when he's on the ice.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, how many times last year did he block a shot because whoever was in net was not in net at the time?
Well,
you know,
and as much as he would like to be that big physical factor, and as much as he shows it up along the boards where he can tie the guys up and slow them down.
Sometimes it's just a matter of separating the the carry from the puck, you know?
Well, absolutely. But when a guy's camped out in front of the net, you're not going to see Spurgeon go knock him out of the way.
No.
No, but you're not going to see Suter do it either.
No, you're not.
No, and that's not Suter's play.
And honestly, that was one of the things that was so eye-opening because, you know, I tend to gravitate towards Shea Weber. I think fans tend to gravitate towards the Shea Webers of the world and the PK Subans and
right.
and Zdeno Chara's yeah. because we want the guy that's going to lay the big hit. He's going to go end to end and score the goal. He's going right. to have the big slap shot. What you see from Suter, he keeps you on the outside and he's a lot. I mean, he's a strong guy,
right.
but he's not a physical guy no. necessarily.
No. He wouldn't be able to play the minutes that he did if he was really physical.
No,
Suter just happens to somehow manage to glide from place to place and be in the right place at the right time and just grab the puck and pass it off and stay away from anything really physical. I mean, he'll throw his shoulder in when he has to every now and again, but it's very, very rare. He just happens to be the guy who's heads up and is in the right place at the right time, which is why he can play the minutes he does, because he's not playing that physical type of hockey.
Well, and if you pull that cord too, he'll come run at you. You know, I mean, when he's get, but he's not. He doesn't play angry. He doesn't play.
He doesn't play emotional.
And that's what's so big about Marco Scandella right now. And Marco Scandella is another one of those guys coming up on the list of players that, you know, it will be looking towards the next contract. And Marco Scandella stepped up so big last year in the defensive zone specifically, and it's because he's a bigger kid. And he's able to bang some bodies around, and he's still skilled enough to add to the offensive zone. I think Marco Scandella was maybe our best defensive defender in the zone last year, and he played big minutes, and that's what's so crucial, especially when you have the more finesse skilled guys, the Brodin, the right. Spurgeon, the Suter.
Right. Which we're plentiful with.
I know.
Okay, so, you know, with these last two games in California, Yo is obviously juggling the lines again.
Oh, yo.
As he's wont to do. Do we think he should be going back to what has worked in game one and two? Or is it just a matter of now that we got Fontaine around, lines are just going to be different just because Fontaine's around?
The Fon train.
The Fon train.
I'll always hope that Fontaine is playing bottom 6 minutes, and that's no knock on him, because I think he has scored goals at every level and he's overachieved for what his package deal is.
Right.
But I hope that we're skilled enough to where there's no spot open in the top six for him, because that's kind of like Kyle Brozniak centering the second line.
I think he just got dropped back down to the fourth line again.
Which is
I'm checking facts right now, but
which with him on the fourth line, I think he has a great opportunity to contribute to the game and get matchups where they don't
right.
see him coming. But when he's on the second line,
he's exposed.
I think he's exposed because of the skill of the players.
Sorry, it looks like Fontaine is on the third line with Halla, with Nino, and Fontaine, and then Carter centering the fourth line with Cook and Zucker.
I see. I'm kind of disappointed with that, because I actually like Carter with Brodziak, because I don't know why. I don't like Brodziak, but for some reason...
Grinders.
They play well together, it seems like. Well, they just kind of shut things down. I don't know. Carter playing with Brodziak makes Brodziak a better player.
Well, Carter's playing
center.
It's called
chemistry.
Carter's playing center instead of Brodziak.
Right,
that's right. Melts ice.
So, I mean, if you had Cook, Carter, or Cook, Brodziak centering, and Carter on the other wing, you know, you got a pretty big grinder line going on right there, where they're just going to literally, like, you come up, and we're going to play the body. We're not playing the puck.
The tough thing is, if you have Brodziak in the lineup, that means that Zucker or Fontaine is your scratch. And that's just something to consider, because Zucker's been going very good right now, and Zucker's been playing some pretty strong PK minutes, and he's been creating some offense that is considered like secondary scoring.
Well, how do you feel about him getting dropped down to the fourth line with Fontaine on the third next to Halla and Niederreiter?
Honestly, I'd rather have Zucker with either the third or the second line. But what I like about what's taking place with Zucker right now is that he's earning the trust of Yo, playing a role that you wouldn't necessarily think he could do consistently. And if he does that, that almost guarantees that he stays here and he's afforded opportunities down the road. And I think with Minnesota Wild fans, you know, you fall in love with Zucker immediately because he bursts onto the scene. He's a Denver kid that you see playing against the Gophers. You know he's fast. He's like the first player since Gabrick to have that speed, to have the goal scorer mentality, to be the guy to want to shoot on a team full of pass-first guys. And then all of a sudden, he's in the doghouse, and he's injured, and he's off the radar.
Oh, thank God. Gabrick injured? What? Well, we didn't get to face him in L.A.
Sure.
I could tell you that he definitely doesn't have a glass jaw like Mr.
Glass groin, you mean?
I mean, yeah. You know, honestly, because Holla's got his wheels underneath him, too. And could you imagine having Holla and Zucker on the same line?
When they have been on the same line, it's been like, you know, the other team is scrambling to match him up, you know, and get some speed on there to slow him down.
They have no way to do it.
Right.
No.
And they've found themselves out there on the PK together.
Yeah.
And I think Howla found Zucker, and he flipped it just over the crossbar or something like that. It was pretty. And Zucker creates those exciting moments, man.
Right.
And that's what captures the hearts of the fans. The fans aren't the ones that are deploying him. It's Yo.
Right.
And one of the things I've written about this summer, you know, I was at both prospect scrimmages. I was there for the training camp scrimmage. And what I noticed about Zucker, this kid gets it, man. He gets that for him to have an opportunity here, he has to do exactly to a T what Yo wants him to do. Otherwise, he's hitting that I-35, man.
Well, you know, and I think you might have hit the nail on the head with that one. I think he's just going to start playing Yo's game and prove his point and be like, look, I can do this. I will be the hand that you want me to be, but I'm also going to prove that I'm not just a fourth line guy.
Well, and I think last year when we did see Zucker, he was playing a game more like Danny Heatley would play. There wasn't much defensive
Floater.
and this year we're not seeing that. I mean, otherwise he wouldn't be on the PK if he weren't playing that defensive role. So he's accepted that he needs to be more multidimensional, especially on the Wild, because we're a defense-first team. Even though we're not the Lemaire trap days, it's a frog. It's a full ice game, and that's the way we're playing now.
And it's a numbers game for that fourth line. You know, if you play Cook, Carter, and Brodziak on the same line, that line can eat minutes. That line can go out there and bang bodies. You can deploy it in a defensive role. You can let Cook mess with whoever you want him to mess with. Brodziak and him have shown chemistry. Ryan Carter's he's gonna get in the mix there. But if you do that, then one of two guys, assuming there's no injuries, one of two guys is out of the lineup, and that's either Fontaine or that's Zucker. And both of these guys have shown that they can score goals at every level. They both scored in college. They both scored in the AHL. You know, a lot of people, I'm not sure if they realize, the reason Fontaine was delayed in making it to the Wild because they needed scoring was he had a little Twitter kerfuffle where he mentioned a derogatory term for homosexual people in regards to a tweet to a teammate or something like that. So, you know, it was kind of the boys will be boys, except for you're playing for an organization that the mothership is based in Minnesota, so right. They held him accountable, and that meant, you know, he was delayed in his arrival to the NHL as sort of punishment for not handling Twitter the right way.
Big boy, use your big boy words.
Yeah. So, you know, Fontaine's a kid that they plucked out of UMD, and, you know, he's a Canadian kid that played at UMD, but yep. he scored there. I think they won a national championship. He scored goals last year. I think he had 14.
I think you're right.
and he scored those goals on the third and fourth line. So
stupid,
you know,
I'm Canadian and I love cigarettes.
Awesome, outstanding. So it's just stuff. It's stuff not to bail out Yo. You know, all of a sudden I'm a Yo apologist after I savaged him for years and years, and you know,
yo.
I'm in the yo doghouse. You know what I mean? So now I'm his biggest man fan. But it's just if you put those kids into the press box, then you're losing some speed, some scoring, and some skill.
No doubt. Well, since we're talking about kids, big news today, the biggest news today is Coyle. Chuck Fletcher is following up last week's big signing by extending Charlie Coyle. Coyle's getting $16 million over 5 years for a very comfortable $3.2 million average per season. Coyle now has 111 NHL games under his belt. He's scored 46 points, so it's not great if you're looking for a scorer. It's more on the defensive end, but that's kind of been the Wild's MO. Did the Wild make the right choice in extending him for this long? It's obviously not a lot of money, comparatively, but considering, the length of the contract and that he's still relatively untested.
I say, yeah. I mean, when you got a guy who's playing with two separated shoulders in the playoffs against the Blackhawks, the entire series, and is giving it 115%. Absolutely. I mean, he's still a big body. He's still got the talent, and he's still out there looking for his teammates. I think it's a positive decision.
Agreed. I think there's a lot of potential and upside for Coyle there. So I honestly think that in the end, the Wild are kind of getting away with the steal here. And, I mean, really? I mean, if we can pan this out and solidify some of those younger guys like that, we could set ourselves up well for the future.
They're definitely paying Coyle to a point where, you know, if he scores a lot more goals than we've seen, they got to steal out of him.
Right.
I think they're paying him now off of his production now and his role now. I mean, you know, they've flirted with the idea that he's a center, and I don't think he's a center.
He's not a center. He's gonna be a wing.
He's gonna be a wing. And then is Coyle ever gonna be a guy that scores more than 20 goals in a season? And the other night he had great opportunities and he missed the net on every single one.
Oh, absolutely.
But what Wild player didn't?
Yeah, true.
This is very true.
True. And you're going against a goalie where you know you got to place your shot. It's not like you can just slap one at him and he's just going to miss it.
You're picking corners.
Sure.
I mean,
but a body like Coyle should be able to park himself in front of the net and get, 15 just on deflections alone.
Yeah.
Just because he's got the size of where he can do that.
Sure. And he was a guy that went from BU, left, went and played with Phillips, and they scored a ton of goals together in St. John, made a deep run at the Memorial Cup. I think they won the Memorial Cup that year. So then when he shows up here, you're looking for a lot more goals than we've gotten so far. So you kind of wonder about his skill. I love that deal. I love the Brodin deal. Yeah, I mean, you're getting these kids ahead of the curve.
Right.
Well, it's the same thing Detroit was doing, what, 10 years ago when they ended up going on cup runs, like, nonstop.
This is what I'm saying. You're setting yourself up well for the future. And
so, but speaking of that, what are we going to do about Granlin? What about Holla, Scandella, Folan?
Well, hopefully we get rid of some of these older contracts with the players not producing.
Yeah, but we don't have many of those anymore.
Backstrom.
You got Backstrom, you got Brodziak, maybe Ballard, but that's money there. But that might only sign three of those guys,
right?
If you look at the Wild's cap situation now, I'm a huge proponent of cap geek, just because I geek out on like the team builds and like
nerds.
Yes, yes. And what I love about what Fletcher's doing is, he's staggering contracts. He's getting ahead of the game. And one of the things, it's very easy. I wrote about this today in my hockeybuzz.com Minnesota Wild piece, and it's great that you guys have it on here so that, because we're locking step, is that I think Granlin wants a 1 or 2 year deal, being that he's a top line center and he has a chance to create the type of production where he's going to get paid the big bucks.
Absolutely.
And he's going to gamble on himself. I think with Howla, he's a guy you could go 3 or 4 years or 5 years eventually. I don't think he's done enough to get the big contract, so maybe he goes bridge year.
He's still barely out of college though.
Sure. And you got it. You got with Folan, when they signed him, they had to do the first year of his contract. So he played one game. That was 1 year of a 2 year entry level.
Right.
So then he comes up for RFA. If he stays in Minnesota, I think he goes 2-3 year range. You know, I'm not sure he gets big money because I don't think he'll do big production.
No,
I think Scandella is the contract you got to keep an eye on because somebody's going to try to steal him.
Right.
And I mean, at that point too, I mean, if some of these young guys start to prove their worth, I mean, you can always restructure deals and things too. I mean, yes, you've got your deals marked out there with Parise and Suter, but if they want to surround themselves with talent and go for a cup, I think they might budge.
Well, and I do think that the one nice thing about these contracts is I don't think that any of them are trade restricted. And usually, which is kind of crazy because usually it seems like Fletcher hands them out like candy. You know, oh yeah, we won't trade you. And that's killing us right now with Backstrom. We could probably move him, maybe. But even then, you know, it's tough. So.
You know, that Backstrom contract is the bane of my existence. And the reason it is because he missed on Bernier and he missed on Bishop. And that's just the reality of it. And this is you've traded Hackett, you have Kemper, you have Harding, and you have Backstrom. And what you're looking to do is have Harding and Bernier if you can make the trade. And he missed on both of those guys, and then all of a sudden you get into this panic frenzy where you're like, all we have is Harding and this Kemper kid who's only played like a year of like high level hockey in general.
Oh, we still had Briz.
No, this is before Briz when he signed.
Last year.
I'm talking about when they signed the Backstrom contract.
Oh, right. Because
Backstrom's
okay.
He's on the second year of a 3 year deal. So this was.
Right. Okay.
So this is previous, right? So what happens is Bernier gets traded from LA to the Leafs for like a Fratton package. Ben Bishop goes from Ottawa to Tampa Bay for Corey Conacher, who they end up dumping. So it's just like, okay, so you're just giving Ben Bishop away tight. Awesome. So then when he misses, he panics and gives Backstrom a 3 year deal. Right. And when Backstrom's 35 years old, so the whole thing counts against the cap. Backstrom could retire from hockey next year and we would have his deal against the cap.
Right.
For another 2 years.
Yeah, which is not good, man. And that positioned them to be in a bad spot. You know, Harding kicking a wall bailed them out because Kemper was going to start the year in Iowa.
Right.
I'm 100% I'm convinced that Kemper was going to start the year in
Iowa.
Well,
Kemper didn't want that. I mean, well, he was going after a one-way contract, so he'd have been getting paid, you know, NHL salary playing AHL.
He's after money. That's what he was after.
No, I disagree with that. I believe Kemper was leveraging his role in Minnesota because he didn't get any money. I mean, if you look at his contract, he didn't get what he got. He got like $1 million a year.
Right.
What he wanted was them to commit to it because it's not his fault that they gave Backstrom a deal and he can't stay healthy. It's not his fault that Harding is beloved by everybody, but he has MS, but you can't cut him.
Well, MS has nothing to do with this season right now. He got pissed off and kicked the wall, apparently.
No doubt.
You know, that's his own problem.
No doubt, but they're not going to get rid of Harding. You can't trade Harding.
No.
I mean,
nobody's going to take him.
I'm saying Darcy Kemper got blamed for being greedy, and I think if he was greedy with anything, it was because he wanted to be the number one guy. He believed he should be the number one guy, and that's what you want out of a young kid.
Oh, sure. But when you've got a healthy Harding and a healthy Backstrom, that seems awfully foolish. He got lucky that Harding made a poor
absolutely.
Decision. Because, I mean, he could have held out, but you know, he was never going to go to the KHL.
No.
You know,
all parties involved kind of got lucky because ultimately, if you lose Kemper and then you have Harding and Backstrom, I would be a basket case all season.
I think Briz is still open.
I mean, Briz is going to be open all year. I mean, if Briz is not going to Colorado with their goalie situation, then I'm not sure if anybody's calling.
Yeah, and, right,
but he's still making true. He's still making money.
Oh,
he doesn't care.
He's making, I think, what was it, like 1 point?
He's going to be in his 50s and he's still making money.
1.2 or 1.5 mil a year to like 2026 or something like that.
Humongous big.
Humongous big. I love it.
So, yeah, I mean, well, here's the thing. Harding, was it 5 or 6 years ago, right before the whole MS thing came out, like a season before that, had said that he wanted to be a number one goalie on a team. And was willing to be trade bait for it. Ended up sticking with the Wild. Comes up. He could have been the number one choice. MS happens. He's up and down. He could have been the number one goalie this year. And then kicks the wall, supposedly.
And I love Harding. And it, you know, it's a tough scenario, right? Because Harding committed to this team. Harding's had the worst luck of any player I've ever heard of. I mean, you know, he has a shot to be the number one guy, blows out his knee, and then we get Backstrom. And so, you know, Harding could have gone elsewhere, made more money. He signed here because he wanted to be the number one guy, and then all of a sudden, you know, then MS. And MS is terrible, and it's not, you know, it's in the
he
world.
Played great, though.
I know. And if he was healthy, I would think he's probably the most talented, most equipped to win goalie. Even though I'm a big Darcy Kemper guy,
right.
I would have went Harding 1A, Kemper 1B, Backstrom groin injury.
See what you can get for him.
Yes, or long-term injury reserve, and then he gets paid. It doesn't count against your cap. He gets to be the goalie coach in 2 years.
Right.
Briz on psychedelics.
Yeah. And Briz collecting the money, you know.
From Philly.
He's taking selfies and kicking it, you know.
Absolutely. Hey, Briz, you want to just hang out with our goalies? Sure.
All right. So that said, I mean, you know, where the Wild are at now, they started out the season for their power rankings. What ESPN had them rated number two in the power rankings
after the
first weekend. And they kind of slipped on the polls a little bit there. They've slid all the way down to number 18 actually on the power rankings now. So,
biggest move.
Yeah. Now, was ESPN, were they kind of, you know, a little overzealous and ranking them that high at number two? Or, I mean, you know, are they overreacting, sliding them all the way down to 18 after
yes.
just a couple of bad games?
Yes, they are overreacting. I don't know if two is right. I mean, I think any given week you could put them in the top six teams in the league, probably.
They've played half the games of most of the other teams, so, I mean, how can you really judge them?
Right.
I mean, this is just a symptom of Minnesota being flyover territory in the hockey politics
Oh,
land.
Absolutely. Right. Well, ESPN, I mean, if they're in the West, although L.A. moved up. L.A. had the biggest move up with 14 spots up. They jumped up 14 spots.
I think
like
the real thing is
three.
ESPN just doesn't know hockey. Doesn't really give a damn about hockey.
No.
ESPN doesn't even cover hockey.
Isn't L.A.
college
one of those?
Actually, ESPN is their commentators for college hockey actually rock.
Awesome. And, you know, yeah. Butcher Gross is like one of my favorites all the time. Loves the state of hockey. Always represents for Minnesota. He's a smart old guy, which is unbelievable in the hockey world to have him be so cool. He calls himself Butchie Maine. I mean, it's unbelievable. Because
you got guys like Don Cherry who, you know, are losing it every damn second, you know.
That's like your grandpa wears like the checkered like loafers, and you just like you stare at him like it's cool.
And he yells at everything.
But really, you're like, Grandpa, don't say that in public.
Honestly, I'd rather have my grandpa say what he says than walking out in public with Don Cherry.
I would rock that jacket.
So with that, I think we're kind of...
Well, hold on. Do those rankings mean anything?
No.
To us? I think we kind of basically covered that
ESPN's
crap.
Yeah, at this point in the game, it's still early in the season anyways. The Wild have had four games.
Everybody else has had like six or seven.
Some people, yeah.
What it is. It's clickbait for ESPN is all it is.
Yeah.
Sure. And if you look at any of the forecasts or the predictions or, you know, who's going to make the playoffs, the pretenders and the contenders, in the Central Division, nobody's going to pick Minnesota outside of the state of hockey because of the markets that you're dealing with. You know, Chicago, St. Louis, Colorado, for whatever reason, people believed that they were going to finish ahead of the Wild this year. I thought they had an atrocious offseason. You know, when you add 37-year-olds to your young core, you're not making your team better.
Well,
and that, you
Denver
know,
Press thought the Wild were going to do better than Colorado this season.
I know, which is crazy because they employ Adrian Dater. So like,
he's not employed anymore, is he?
He's employed and suspended. And you know, maybe I'm getting the silent treatment from Russo a little bit because I explained to him that I would never support a podcast with that gentleman.
Well,
just because he does things unbelievable. You're not allowed to talk to people all crazy on Twitter if you're an adult. I get it from college kids. College kids rip me all the time, but not if you're a professional. Like, if you're a journalist, you can't do what he did, man. You can do it like in a bar, maybe, but make sure nobody's cell phone videoing it because it's going to end up on whatever.
YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, he really started, at least when I started seeing him come to prominence was during the lockout, and he just started going way off the deep end.
Sure.
And hater and dater.
He's like a shock jock. He's like a shock jock hockey journalist. You know the other thing too. He's so big.
Shock jock hockey journalist.
He's so big. He's like 6'6", and he's a ginger. And you know,
got a goofy looking haircut. Not that I should talk about anyone's hair, but
you know, and maybe he can back up the talk. You know, maybe you take a run at that guy. He pulls his shirt over your head or something. I don't. You know, but that's his gig, man. If your gig is to write about hockey, then you don't say the things that you did on Twitter. Maybe you log out. You know, go tell somebody in person.
Right.
You can create more than one account.
Unbelievable. Well, hey, Tony, if you really want to give your opinion to Russo about it, I kind of have some people that I know that know where he hangs out at.
Sure.
We can be in touch, and you can go tell him in person.
You know, and honestly,
still relate it to three in the box.
Sure. And honestly, so, you know, over the years I've talked to Russo, and Russo's an intelligent guy, and he's a great writer. And he ultimately, Russo is the aspiration, I think, with regard to journalists. I mean, you should want to get to a place where you can cover hockey like that, where you can go multi-platforms, where you're the end-all, be-all.
We're really spoiled in this market.
And
you look at some of the other guys out there.
And like we, before we got on tonight, what I wanted to explain in general is that joining Three in the Box tonight is a great opportunity for me because I've generated content at Hockey Buzz. I'm doing Wild Wednesdays with Jeff Dubay show, which is taking off. It's like 13,000 listens and downloads in like less than 2 months, which is just an amazing thing for him.
Wow, sorry to Definitely. Bring you down tonight.
No. what I think this is I think there needs to be more collaboration between, you know, internet content generators of the Minnesota Wild because there's so many different outlets, and I think there needs to be more of a focus with regard to people coming into contact. I want people to come into contact with Three in the Box because I think you guys are a riot. You have this amazing lab where you come up with this. I'm a huge advocate of making sure that any momentum I gain or any audience that I reach that I want to share with them, the people that I come into contact with and see that generate content. You know, that goes for Derek Felska over at State of Hockey Talk. That goes for the Hockey Wilderness guys who do a fun podcast.
They do a great podcast.
And those guys, too, you know, I've had conversations with them, and it's like, you know, if you disagree with me, that's awesome. But what we need to do is we need to make sure that we take care of each other with regard to never trying to minimize what our role is with regard to our content. You know, if people disagree with me, I love that. All I ever want to do is foster a hockey conversation like we've done here tonight. And I think it's so important to generate, because, you know, there's a lot of fair weather Minnesota Wild fans.
Well, yeah. You know, and like you said, I mean, if you disagree with you, that's great, because nobody gets anywhere by agreeing with everybody.
No.
You know, ideas come from forming from disagreeing with each other and giving each other's points, and you come to a greater understanding of what's going on, and you can build off of that. But it takes varying opinions to actually get to that point.
You know, and ultimately, you know, we may be the smallest of a small, but all of us, most of us are not making livings off of this.
Sure.
We're not. We may be competing in a sense, but really, you know, there's not a whole lot of livelihoods at stake. We're doing this for our own entertainment, for fun, because we love hockey and we love the Wild. And I don't think people really see that. Enough people see that. You know, it's just, we're all in this together. Let's have a good time. Let's talk hockey.
Absolutely. So with that, let's get to the game of the week. So, wrong sample.
Whatever. So, game of the week. Last week we had a game of the week was Wild at Kings. Jive was the only one who picked the right one.
That's right.
Or wrong one, depending on.
He picked the Kings
one. Hey, he picked the correct one.
The rule of the game isn't to be a homer.
This is true.
Yeah. Boo that pick.
I'm sorry. I was trying to be realistic. The Wild had a hot start, you know. I just know how Minnesota sports roll, and it can't always continue. So I wasn't trying to be a Debbie Downer, but it is what it is. And now you guys are eating my dust.
Yeah, so Aaron, I think it was your turn to pick the game of the week. And
I picked the Wild at Rangers. That is the Monday night game that's coming up. We actually have four games this week.
For our week.
Right, for the Wednesday to Wednesday. And so with that, I'm actually picking the Rangers winning. I don't know why, but I'm going to pick four goals as well, as Jive did.
Yep, I'm going for the Rangers in four this week as well. So I'm glad to see that you're not a homer and that you can, you know, be realistic.
Well, I mean, let's
be realistic about things.
Let's be honest. The Wild have traditionally struggled on the road. Hockey... Two evenly matched teams, the home team wins 55% of the time. I mean, that's just a fact. So, you know, why not?
You know, and against your guys' judgment, I'm going with the Wild because I still believe that the West is stronger than the East. And I'm going with the Wild with a total of five goals. So, Tony, as our first guest pick,
nice
this season,
you get to pick a winner in the total goals.
Who do you think's going to win, and how many total goals do you think are going to be scored?
Total goals scored. I'm definitely going to pick the Wild because the Rangers can suck it. And
that's what she said.
Yes. And then I married her, and then she didn't.
Story of my life.
That's why I come to talk hockey here, because she doesn't care.
Well, she doesn't listen either. Nobody does.
No. Just to savage me. She might be on Twitter to savage me. I'll go Wild, and I'll go three goals, because I think the Rangers aren't going to score any, because Darcy Kemper is going to get a shutout.
You think there it's going to be 3-0, huh?
Three, all right. Zero.
Well, you get the very first guest pick of the year. So we'll have another one next week.
So do I get 5 points if I win, or like how does it work?
No, so you haven't heard the rundown yet.
No.
Winner, if you pick the right team, you get a point. If you pick the right total goals, you get a point, but only if you pick the winner.
I get you.
So it's pretty simple.
Well, I'm checking in. I'm making sure my points are on the board.
All right.
And then real briefly, a little Gophers talk. They'll be starting up their season here.
Oh, now he's on it. Thanks, producer.
Officially, they'll be starting up their season playing the Beavers Friday and Saturday at Mariucci.
Their record against the Beavers has been pretty good in the past. They did win the Colgate in Invitational.
The toothpaste, the blast toothpaste, off.
Whatever. Whatever. They beat RPI in the... Yeah.
Rotations per minute.
Rotations. Yeah, they beat RPI in the previous game in Notre Dame.
And so now they're coming back to Mariachi Arena.
Lucci.
Susan Lucci?
Achi.
Okay.
All right.
I think we've about exhausted this boat here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I'm not live tweeting Wild Games for Three in the Box, that is at Three in the Box on Twitter. You can find me, myself, on Twitter, at AaronGMP. Lastly, a blatant plug for my band, Pinrot, which you can find at pinrot.com.
And this is Kenny. You can find me mainly talking about live sound stuff on Twitter at RottenK999.
Jive.
Yeah, you can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. You can also catch me hanging out with these guys trying to plot the next way to conquer the world.
And Tony, where can people find your work?
So you can find my work at Hockey Buzz, hockeybuzz.com, and then either on the main page or there is a Minnesota Wild icon that you can click on. I affectionately refer to it as the Minnesota Wild Hockey Buzz community. So that's Wild HB community, and that also has a Twitter page. It's at Wild HB community. My Twitter page is Tony Dean, all one word, HB for Hockey Buzz at the end. So that's all pressed together. You can find me Wild Wednesdays with Jeff Dubay. That's jeffdubayshow.com. And then hopefully going forward here, we'll do some more Three in the Box. We'll get these guys inundated with the stuff that I talk about, and hopefully they invite me back. Maybe this is my last time.
No, it's, absolutely.
It's been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you, Tony, for coming out.
In the lab.
In the lab.
So, with that, I think we'll call this a show.